Well, in the books of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, you'll find that phrase, faithful saying, four times. And twice in 1 Timothy, once in 2 Timothy, and once in Titus. The first one, the first occasion is there in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. And Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. He didn't just say it's a faithful saying. He said, it's something that you need to hear gladly. You need to receive with an earnestness and an anxiousness to get it. This is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of, it's worthy for you to listen, to hear. It's worthy for you to take it in and consider it. And look what he says, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, isn't that a faithful saying? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, Paul went on to say, and maybe this is the, of whom I am chief. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. What the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. The goodness of God that has made the difference for us. Verse 12, 13, and 14, Paul is kind of rehearsing to Timothy. Now, he's writing to Timothy and to Titus in these three books. They're men who know the gospel. They know the truth. They're pastors. They're pastors. And Paul, in the middle of it, he's talking to them. He says, here's a faithful saying, and it's worthy to be accepted. It's worthy to be held on to. It's worthy to be loved. And it's just the simple fact that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And I was the worst of them. That is so essential and core to our faith. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Every one of us are sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. We all are dead in our sins and our trespasses. But Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. You know, you can get bogged down on a few things, you know, and in life that comes your way, and troubles and trials and turmoil, and a couple of these faithful sayings deals with those. But you know, if that faithful saying, to just hold on to it, Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and I was the worst of them, but he saved me anyway. He came to save me when I didn't deserve to be saved. When I was yet in my sins, Christ died for me. What a wonderful thing. It said, Paul was talking to him there in verse 12. He says he put me into the ministry, and then he starts remembering what he was. Verse 13, he said, I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was injurious. He was kind of talking to Timothy about one thing, but then as he realized, he thought, you know, here's the essence of it all. This is the faithful saying, that Jesus Christ has come into the world to save sinners. You know, we can do a lot of things in our church. We can get a lot of things organized and a lot of things going. We can build and we can fix. But the essence is Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. This church is here as a beacon of light to the sinners. Me as a Christian, my main objective should be to let people know that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, I obtained mercy. That in me, verse 16, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. they could look at me. I'm the cheapest, the worst sinner that could ever be, he said. And they can look at what God did with this persecutor, this blasphemer. They could look at me as a pattern of what God can do in the life of a sinner. I'm reminded of my Papaw Collins' testimony of his salvation experience. Went to church to fight the preacher. But when he got there, Jesus saved that old sinner. Saved him. Brought him out of his sin. Brought him out of his drunkenness. Brought him out of his hatred, his bitterness. Brought him out of those things and saved that sinner. Jesus Christ has come into the world to save sinners. He's not come into this world to find some righteous men that would maybe measure up to what he thought they could measure up to. He didn't come in for that. He didn't come for that. He came to this world because we were all desperate sinners. We had no hope whatsoever except that he come and he pay the price and he shed his blood. We had no hope. But he came to do that for us. We had no means whatsoever by which to pull ourselves up to God. But he came down that he could pull us up, that he could bring us out of the miry clay, that he could set us free from our sins, that he could do a work in our lives. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Now, he's reminding these pastors of a few things. And we don't ever need to forget, it's all about the gospel. It's all about the gospel. It's all about the good news of Jesus Christ. It's about letting people know that that Jesus can save them from their sins. That's what the essence of it is, Paul's saying. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. The second time that he uses that phrase is in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. Verse 9 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. He says it again. Now, as I read this, my basic opinion is that he's referring backwards this time to verse 8. Now, verse 8 says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. That's the beginning of it. And then the second part of it says, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And I believe he's pointing at that phrase, but godliness is profitable unto all things. A faithful saying. Godliness, a holy reverence. A reverence for God. Another term that the Old Testament uses, the fear of God. Proverbs says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And so Paul is saying here, this is a faithful saying, that we need to have this holy reverence. That as we go about the things that we do. Now, he talks about bodily exercise here and the profit that may be there, but he's saying that you can put a lot of effort into those kinds of things. But he's saying here that godliness, a holy reverence, a continual recognition of God's presence in your life is profitable unto all things. Always knowing that God is there. Oh, it's profitable. It's profitable unto all things. It says, because the life that now is, if you walk in the fear of God, you walk in wisdom. If you walk in the fear of God, it's going to keep you on the straight and narrow. It's going to keep you making good decisions, making wise decisions. And it's profitable for the promise of life that now is, the life that we're living now. To walk in the fear of God, to walk in godliness, is profitable for now, and it says also that which is to come. Keep you on the straight and narrow. Godliness is profitable unto all things. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Jesus came to save sinners. Fear of God. Walking in the fear of God. Paul goes on in the next book, 2 Timothy, chapter 2. He says, it is a faithful saying. And then you see that colon, so that helps us know the next thing is the faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. It's a faithful saying. Jesus, he gave that, he said, if a man who saves his life will lose it. But a man who loses his life for my sake will find it. It's the paradox, that losing your life, you can save it. But if you strive to save your life, you'll lose it. He says here, if we're dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Saying, just as Jesus looked at him and said, you can't serve two masters. You're either going to love the one and hate the other. You'll cling to the one and despise the other. If you save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, you'll save it. If we be dead with him, we believe that we shall also live with him. We die with Christ. We die with Christ so that it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. It's no longer me that is calling the shots anymore. It's the life of Christ that lives in me. Paul's reminding him. He gets through here. He says a lot of things in these books, but he gets to these spots and he says, here's a faithful saying. Here's something you need to hang on to. If you're dead with him, you'll live with him. If you give your all, if you suffer with him, if you're willing to dedicate everything to him, if you'll suffer with him, you'll reign with him. If we give our all, if we dedicate ourselves, but he says if we deny him, he'll deny us. Jesus told his disciples that if you deny me, I'll deny you before the Father. This is a faithful saying. If we be dead with him, we believe we shall also live with him. Titus chapter 3, a couple pages over. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. This is a faithful saying, I want you to affirm these things constantly. This is something you need to have in mind. Often, that they which believe in God might be careful to maintain good works. You got to be careful to maintain good works. You got to put the thought into the things that you do. You got to put the thought into what you apply yourself to. You got to put your thought into it. You got to be careful to maintain good works. How many times have you caught yourself slipping up and not doing the right thing because you weren't careful? You got to be careful to maintain good works. You maybe let that word slip. Maybe you let that attitude go out that you got to be careful to maintain good works. You got to be careful to make sure that you are ordering your life to be a life that is pleasing to God and helpful to others. That you maintain good works. Good works. You know, we live a Christian life. Those good works. The good works of a Christian life. To give. To love. To forgive. To to show concern, to help, to assist. Good works. To visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Be careful to maintain good works. How we treat our neighbor, how we conduct our business, how we show ourselves in our manner and attitude and spirit, to be careful to maintain good works. Paul said this is a faithful saying. We need to affirm it constantly. It needs to be something that we pay attention to in our life. And as Christians, it's important, the testimony that we bear. The testimony that we bear, that we continue to bear that testimony of a faithful man and woman of God, of one that can be trusted and counted upon, one that people can put their confidence in, regardless of what the circumstance may be, that they're going to be trustworthy, they're going to be dependable, they're going to be someone that they can count on, that we're careful to maintain good works. Paul said these sayings are faithful. They're faithful. They'll never be without use. They'll be something that is true today, and it's going to be true tomorrow. It's something that's going to be valuable now, and it's going to be valuable in the future. It's a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation. It's worthy for us to constantly affirm these things. And these other things that you all express to us. You know, Paul used these words in these few verses, but the things that you expressed as well, those faithful sayings, that as Christians, that we bear these things in mind, and they're the things that help us as we face decisions. They're the things that help us as we face difficulties. They're the things that help us along the way, the encouraging words that you've heard, the scriptures that the Lord has planted in your heart. Those kinds of things are valuable, and we hold dear to them because they help us as we move along to serve the Lord. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. We need to live godly lives. We know that we need to give everything up for Him, and that we keep good works. Faithful sayings. Paul wanted them. He said, I want to remind you of this. He reminded them of a whole bunch of things, but on those four occasions, he stopped and said, wait, pay attention to this. The faithful sayings that God gives us, His Word, His Word, Holy Scripture, that we can hide in our heart, and that we can know. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for these faithful sayings. Lord, that You came to save this sinner. Lord, You just didn't just save me in a little way, but Lord, You brought me out to live godly, to live righteous, to live holy. Lord, You saved me to deny myself and put away the things of this world and to serve You. And Lord, help me to be faithful. Help me to bear in mind the truth of Scripture, and Lord, not let it slip away from my heart. Lord, that I hold fast to these truths, Lord, that I've learned over my life from Your Word and from men of God, men and women of God. Lord, that I hold dear to them, and I won't let them slip. Lord, I thank You for these faithful sayings, for the things You've taught us. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Let's